Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read verses 39 and 40 this morning, the last two verses of the chapter. Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Hebrews 11, verse 39. You just love to see people fall, don't you? All right, let's stand to our feet as we read the Word of God. I don't blame you. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. I pray you'd use it to help us. We need you. Even if somebody came today and really didn't come for that purpose, whatever the purpose was, if they've just drifted, I pray you'd help us focus on what the Word of God has for us today. Use it to help us. Empower our pastor as he comes and preaches from this section. And then, Father, as I pray every week, if there's somebody in this room or on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
It's very important this morning that you keep your Bibles open to our text. We're going to look at that in a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 11. You know what Hebrews 11 is, right? Hebrews 11 is what we call the Hebrews Hall of Faith. It lists a bunch of people who, listen now, who by faith accomplished amazing things with God's help in their life. Hey, faith then is no different than faith now, which means by faith, through faith, in faith, these people, they did these things. I mean, back up in Hebrews 11, there are a few verses, would you please? In chapter 11, go back to verse number 33 and look at this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Then our text, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made, ladies and gentlemen, should not be made perfect. We're going to come back to that statement in a minute, but now listen. Do you see what these people did through faith, by faith, in faith? Everything from seeing somebody raised from the dead to just getting through the life and the day that they lived. Sawn asunder, that was the prophet Isaiah. His king strapped him to a tree and cut the tree in half with him in it and cut him in half. Some of these folks, the Bible said they lived in dens and caves like animals. Through faith, by faith, in faith. And then God lists some of them specifically by name, the things that they did. And you know, if you've read Hebrews chapter 11, you see there's some people in there that you would think would be in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. You know, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and, you know, Moses, Samson. Samson's in the Hall of Faith. Samson. We learn a lot from this one chapter that God has a view of people's lives we don't have. You know, all those people he mentions in Hebrews 11, they're in heaven now. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it talks about running your race. We're going to come back to that in a minute. You know, all these people in heaven that have already done all of these things by faith and through faith. It makes a statement about them in the last verse of this 11th chapter and the last statement of that verse. Verse 40, look at it again. God having provided some better thing for us here in this life, that they in the next life, now in heaven, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have somebody, some of your loved ones there in heaven right now? You have somebody in heaven? Do you realize what that means? That statement means this, that, listen, they who are now in heaven, there's something they lack in their life without you, without what you do with your life, that they without us should not be made perfect. Perfect in the Bible is not talking about their salvation. The word perfect means to be complete. It means to be fulfilled. That they who are in heaven without us should not be made perfect. There's something lacking about what they are and have in heaven without you. Now you do understand this morning, people. If you get anything from the Bible, by the way, the GQ magazine is a piece of trash anyway, apparently I never read it. Put out a list of 21 books you're not supposed to read. And you know the Bible is one of them. This idiot who wrote this article said it's foolish, it's repetitive, and who needs it anyway? I don't know how big you can spell the letter stupid, but I can't imagine anything more dumb or arrogant. Now, I read a partial list of some of these books, and they shouldn't be read, some of them, but the Bible? Are you a mental midget? Seriously. You think about the arrogancy. That's the society we live in today, by the way. But you know, there are people, ladies and gentlemen, recorded in this book right here in Hebrews. They have run their race. They are now in heaven. And God, in one simple statement, said this. It's not about you. That they without us should not be made perfect. You know what that encompasses now, people who are now in heaven. Not just those in Hebrews 11. Every person who ever died in Christ is in heaven. Every baby that went to heaven from their mother's womb is in heaven. Every person who ever died in the innocency of their mind and life is in heaven. There's something about those folks, those people of faith who have gone before us who are in heaven, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's something lacking about them. There's something they don't have yet. And heaven is a beautiful place now. There's nothing lacking about heaven. There's nothing that they're in heaven going, well, I thought it would be nicer than this. No, don't trust me. They're okay. But that they without us, not where they were, they themselves, they without us should not be made perfect. There's something about us today, here, in this life, you and me, that helps to complete them there. Now, every time I read that passage, I think, what in the world could we possibly do down here? What could we possibly accomplish down here that would affect somebody in heaven? Now, listen very carefully. Nobody is in heaven because of what they did down here. It's not how you live your life here that determines whether or not you go to heaven. Are we clear about that now? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3, 5 and 6, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing we do in this life that determines heaven or hell for us except one thing. And that is, what did you do about the payment Jesus made for you on the cross? What did you do about that? Did you accept Christ's payment for your salvation and forgiveness? If you don't, you don't go to heaven. If you do, you do go to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You're not going to get anybody into heaven because of how you live here. They didn't get there because of how they lived. They got here, but they got there by faith in Christ. That's how you get to heaven. That's how I get to heaven. So let's be clear about something this morning. If you've never settled that matter of you accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you better take care of that now. I would recommend before the service is over. But if you want to wait all the way to the end of it, you can take care of it then, whatever the case may be. Friend, without Jesus Christ and salvation, you are not going to heaven. So it's not that they lack salvation. It's not that they lack forgiveness. It's not that there's that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Okay. So what is it then? Number one, it's you. See, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells us an account, not a parable, an account of two men who lived and died on the same day. One of them, a beggar named Lazarus, was taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The other one, his name is just called the rich man. He winds up in hell. While the rich man is in hell, the Bible said he looks up into heaven and he sees that beggar that used to lay outside the gate of his house with the dogs, fighting the dogs for scraps from the trash cans. And he sees that beggar Lazarus in heaven, and he's not covered with sores, and he's not begging anymore. And he is in hell, the Bible said, tormented by the flame and fire of hell. And they in heaven could see him in hell. He sees Lazarus in the Bible says the bosom of Abraham. He's standing next to Abraham, and he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here. That he could just dip his finger in just a little bit of water and touch my tongue, for I'm so tormented by this fire and flame here. Hell is not a cuss word. It's a real place. And Abraham could see him there. And he said, son, you remember in your lifetime what it was like back on earth, how you had all you wanted? And this man had nothing. By the way, the beggar did not go to heaven because he was poor, and the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. The beggar went to heaven because he knew Christ and as Savior and salvation. The rich man did not. It's as simple as that. There are poor people in heaven. There are rich people. There are poor people in heaven. There are poor people in hell. And there are rich people in heaven. Salvation is the answer. That's the difference. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're here this morning holding on to your morality and good works, you better repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The point of that example that Jesus used. By the way, those two men are still alive today. The rich man's still asking for some release, and the beggar Lazarus is still enjoying the glories of heaven. But they could see each other. And then the rich man said this. Well, then send Lazarus back to my brothers. I have five. And tell them not to come to this place. Oh. You mean people over there know about us over here? Mm-hmm. I was soul winning in Gary, Indiana. And it was in a black neighborhood. I went to knock on the door of a house. And I smelled barbecue. Now listen here, people. Look at me. This nose is so sensitive, I can tell you what they're cooking. Pork, beef, hamburgers, steak, ribs, beef, or pork. I can tell you what's going on. You put beans on that thing back there, I can tell you you're cooking beans. I mean, it's a well-trained nose. And if you're in a black neighborhood and somebody's barbecuing, you better get in on that. You honkies out there with all your olive oil and stuff, forget your face, Jack. There's a guy back there with a 55-gallon drum. He has ripped in half and made a barbecue out of that. And he's cooking up some stuff, some good stuff. So I didn't even knock on the door. I just walked around the side yard and hollered over the gate. Anybody home? He said, yeah. I said, hey, I'm Brother Johnson. Can I talk to you for a minute? Yeah, come on back here. I walked in that backyard. There was the biggest black man I have ever seen in my life. Huge. Standing there doing ribs. Just putting a slather in the sauce on. For a minute, I forgot what I was doing back there. I said, yeah. He said, what can I do for you? I said, well, we're from the church. We just want to invite you to come to services sometime and talk to him for a few minutes. I said, those are pork ribs, right? He goes, yeah, St. Louis short ribs. I said, oh my. Okay, and I also wanted to talk to you about your soul, sir, if you take a minute. He goes, yeah, go ahead. Went to the plan of salvation, explained that you got to trust Christ to go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. He looked at me and he said, well, let me ask you a question there, Reverend. He said, my wife died 2 months ago. I loved her. She was such a wonderful lady. He goes, but she would have nothing to do with God or church or anybody. He goes, did my wife go to hell? I said, I can't answer for your wife's soul or her condition. He goes, I got to tell you something. He goes, if she's not in heaven, I don't want to go. And I said, sir, I can assure you of this. If she's not in heaven, and I said, no, I don't know that. I don't know how she grew up. I don't know what kind of church she did. He goes, as far as I know, she had no church background. I go, okay, fine. Church doesn't save you. Jesus does. I said, but I don't know that. I said, I can't assure you of this, sir. I can assure you. Wherever she is in eternity, she wants you in heaven. He goes, yes, I know that's true. He goes, but if she's not there, I couldn't abide heaven without my wife. I just couldn't. You know, I couldn't lead the man to Christ. He would not let me lead him to the Lord. Well, see, that was 38 years ago. That man, no doubt, he's passed to eternity now. That's what they're missing. Look at me. They're missing you. They want you in heaven. If for some reason, God forbid it's true, but it may be, if for some reason they pass from this life to the next without Jesus Christ, they want you in heaven. Oh, I can guarantee you that. There is no question. Because see, this rich man who was in hell, tormented by flames, he could only think of himself at first, but as soon as that, he found there could be no release, no comfort. He said, then please, send somebody back to tell my five brothers, do not come to this place. They're in heaven. Oh, I guarantee you, they want you there. You ever have those friends who go on vacation somewhere really nice, and you're at work, and they start sending you pictures, and at the bottom they put, wish you were here. And of course you're happy for them. Standing on the golf course in Hawaii, wish you were here. And I'm in Redding, it's 112. Wish you were here. And I was there. Oh, they wish you were there. That they without us should not be made perfect. Hey, look at me. They want you there, you know. I'm not trying to pull on your emotional heartstrings this morning. But those of you who had little ones who've gone to heaven and you did not have the blessing, the joy of having them in this life, they wish you were there. I guarantee you. You're going to make up for a lot of lost time in heaven. It's sad we don't get the time here, but I guarantee you, in there, you have forever to make up for all the time you lost. They wish you were there. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. There's something missing in their heaven. There's something missing there, and it's you. There's something else missing, too, that you and I in this life can provide for them, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Look at chapter 12 now, the next chapter. As you know, when the Bible was given, it was not given with chapter divisions and verses. It was just in script. So the thought from verse 30 to chapter 12, verse 1, there isn't a break in a chapter. It's the same thought. That they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what? Hey, you know what completes them in heaven? Not only you, but your life here. Doesn't make their heaven any better, but it makes them better in heaven to look down. Look at me. It compassed about. It's the idea of being in an arena with people in a competition in the arena, and there's people in the stands watching the competition. They are compassed about. They're circular. Almost all these old arenas are circular type things. And so the vantage point is such you can see all that went on down there. And I believe those people in heaven see us while we run our race down here. So that means this. See, those people of faith who laid the groundwork of our belief and laid the groundwork of our Bible and laid the groundwork of our hopes and laid the groundwork of our promises and laid the groundwork of our foundations, laid the groundwork of our character and laid the groundwork of the life that we would have, those things that they gave us, they're up in heaven looking down to see, will your life mirror what they taught you? How tragic it is today that people take the good of life and the good of their training and the good of their upbringing and they just chuck it aside. I don't understand that. Don't you understand? They laid a groundwork for you to follow. My family was here for a few days this week. Some of them were supposed to be here this morning. They got lost on the way to church or they hit a bar or something. I don't know where they are. I dug out an old video of my dad turns 90 tomorrow. 1999, my grandmother turned 90, and we videotaped the birthday thing we did for her in our old church building. We pulled that video out. Brianna, it was in that, and Desiree were in that video when she was 9 years old. Deidre would have been 11. We see, huh? 1999. I didn't see you there, Des. Were you in jail then or something? What happened? No, just kidding. Seeing some of our folks. Oh, man. Some of our folks, so many of our folks were in that video. And I'm looking at this one and that one and this one and that one. And that one's in heaven now and that one's in heaven now. There's the bishops and they're in heaven now. And there are these folks and they're in heaven now. And looking at these faces and these people and stuff. And then seeing that and seeing my grandmother, who now for many years has been in heaven. It just kind of led my thinking to this direction, that they're up there in heaven and they look down on us. Now, I do not believe they see us in every moment of our lives, our private moment or whatever. I don't believe that's the case. You see, it's an example of running a race, a competition. Look, if you are running the race that you're supposed to run, that's when they see you. Not sitting in the bleachers, not because you quit. Not because you're running your race. You're running the race that's set before you. That race they ran, that they were supposed to run. Well, none of them were perfect. Yeah, I know that. You get together with your family, you find out just how imperfect some of your relatives were. My great uncle spent thousands of dollars on a genealogical study of our family. Traced all those people. You know, I don't know where he spent all that money. Traced all these people and found out we're related to Thomas Jefferson. Pretty impressive, huh? Half of America apparently is related to Thomas Jefferson. And one of my relatives was the first public school teacher in America. You got to be impressed now. And then he just quit. And I said, Uncle Chester, why'd you stop? He said, too many horse thieves. He said, I thought I was looking at our family tree. I didn't know how many of them were swinging from trees in those days. So we just kind of quit. Yeah. Don't look at me. You got them too, bro. Yeah, just trust me. You can pull up those genealogy records from the Mormons and then check the prison records. You'll find both your families are in both of those. But the truth is, I look at my grandmother. You know, she taught me a lot of things about life. She taught me to love this book. She taught me to believe it. And never believe anything that was contrary to the Bible. I didn't know my grandmother. She wasn't an independent fundamental Baptist like I was, like I am. I was. No, I still am. Like I was, like I am. I'll get it right. But she made me one when she said, Michael Ray, if somebody can't prove to me from this book what they believe, I don't believe it. You don't do it either. Did it for me. Now look here. They're up there in heaven. What do they want to do? Look down and find me in a neo-evangelical church? That's not what they taught me. What? They want to see me shacking up and living in sin? That's not what they taught me. I wasn't taught that way. Down here desecrating the flag of the United States of America, my grandfather would come out of the grave and kill me if he saw me do that. I was not taught that. See, people look at me. You say, well, I'm a first-generation Christian. Then you know there are a bunch of Christians who you never met, never talked to one time in your life, who laid the foundation for what you had come to believe. And I assure you, when you're doing what you're supposed to do, they are completed by your obedience too. See, it's your life. It's what we do. It's not. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It's not my life. It belongs to Jesus Christ, and it belongs to those people of faith. Yes. Can you think of somebody, look at me right now, can you think of somebody right now who was such a great person of faith in your life who's now in heaven? You know, they're looking down from heaven. They're looking down at your life. And when they see you doing what you're supposed to do with your life, what you're supposed to do, then they can watch you while you run your race. My dad and my older brother came to watch me play my football game. First time they came to watch me, somebody ran in the huddle and said, hey, Johnson, your dad and your brother up there watching. I looked up into the stands. They started waving at me. I put my helmet up. I go, pointed out my number, put my mouth, people are going, what's this? I was a middle linebacker. I said, I'm going to get somebody. I don't know who, but I'm getting somebody. They're going to see me. Ran out there on a sweep. Go over to nail that halfback. Some little skinny cornerback comes up and tackles the guy. So I hit the referee. I mean, he saw me. I want him to see me do something. Hey? Hey? My brother Jack's 2 years older than me. Runs like a duck with a hernia. It's unbelievable. See, what's a duck with a hernia look like? Like my brother. That's what he looks like. Seriously, it's sad, 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 sad. Unbelievable. He couldn't play football, but I don't think they'd even let him on the cheerleading squad. I mean, honestly, it was that bad. He's a good athlete, but run funny, very funny. I was kind of worried about him. Anyway, truth is, I wanted to see me do something. Hey, I got up this morning and I got all these people over there. Not only my people, but people like I saw in that video who are part of this church, the Bowles and all these different people that were there. See, they're all over there now. I want them to look down and see us doing what we're supposed to do. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. How dare you take the faith of your fathers and run off with it? How dare you do that? That's selfish, it's wicked, it's as wrong as going out and killing somebody and selling drugs. It's just as awful as to disgrace and disparage the faith you were given. And then do it and blame them for it. One of the things about family reunions is you do find out stuff about your family that you didn't know. And sometimes you find out stuff about your family you wish you didn't know. They tell one of your family heroes about something in their life, and you go, oh, I didn't know that. See, what does that change? Look at me. Nothing that they taught me that's right. My mom was a drunk. She lived the last 20, 30 years of her life sober, but she'd been a drunk most of her life. But you know, my mom taught me things in life that I still live by. How dare you throw out everything someone does because of the things they did that are not right? Look at me. That they, without us, nobody is in heaven because they're perfect. They're in heaven because they're saved. But, now listen to me, but what they taught you that's right, that's still a responsibility we have. Hey, that they without us should not be made perfect. Your life is what completes them. And number three, your Savior is what completes them. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Look at verse 2 of chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. See, while you run the race, you're supposed to keep your eyes not only on the finish line, but on the one who provided the opportunity to run that race. Well, see, that's Jesus. It's good to say, well, you know, my grandmother taught me this, my grandfather taught me that, my mother this, my father that, my loved ones this, those people. I learned a lot from these people in my life, but those people in heaven are completed when a child of God says, but the reason I do what I do, the number one reason, is for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get that right, hey, if you get that right in your thinking and you keep it that way, you'll always run the race you're supposed to run. Our problem all too often is we start looking unto people. We start looking unto things. We start looking unto the people in their past. We got too much of this stuff about the horizontal and not enough about the vertical. We got to get our eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when that happens, those people in heaven, they are completed. There's something complete about their life because they see you living the way you're supposed to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, if something you find out about them in their life, done 350 funerals or more in these 35 years of pastor in this church, it's amazing what you find out about people when they pass. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes it's hard to watch people have to find out about a person's life. That's why you do not have a secret life. You don't have a hidden life. It will be known. You don't need that now. You go ahead and clean your luggage up and get it squared away, hey? And then to see people get their eyes off the Lord Jesus, the one who gave them the salvation they have, the reason they're going to heaven, the example he's supposed to be. You know, that's whole about him. It really is about him. And people in heaven, they look down, they go, man, I know I failed him in some ways, but they still have Jesus to follow. Looking unto Jesus. And every time they see us look past people and their failures and past people and their weaknesses and past people and what they are or are not, because, see, you're not perfect either, so don't sweat the small stuff, bro. The truth is you look past all of that and you say, but you know what? It's Jesus that saved me. It's Jesus that's my example, and I'm living for him. Then those in heaven say, I wasn't perfect, but, man, they got that truth right. And they, without us, are completed. Because you live for your Savior. It's about Jesus, friend. You got that? So look at me. So get off the whining, get off the ambulance, okay? The whiny wagon. Well, I know you have to understand what somebody need to me in my life. See, Brother Johnson, why do you mock that kind of stuff? Well, because if I try and say it nicely, it just enables you to keep going on the rest of your life with the poochie lip disease where you're picking up carpet fuzz because of stuff in your life. How much longer does this go on? Huh? At what point are we going to stop and say, but it's Jesus that I live for? It's Jesus who is my example. Because I guarantee you, friend, he is perfect. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And they look down from heaven and they say, phew. They look past my faults and they saw the Savior. They look beyond what I wasn't and they saw who Jesus is and they live for him now. It completes them in heaven. Okay? It doesn't make their heaven any better. It makes them better in heaven. See, no, when you get to heaven, everything's perfect, Pastor John said. No, that comes later on down the road when God wipes away all tears from their eyes. That's all done down the road. People in heaven right now, they're watching, they're looking, and they are looking at our lives saying, I hope that they'll see past what I wasn't to see the one who is. I hope that they'll look past what I didn't do and see the one who will do all they need and exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.